Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here is today's message.
Have you ever experienced this moment? The moment that you know you're called to do something significant with your life. Something that matters. Something that makes an impact. Something that leaves a legacy long after you're gone. No matter who you are, we are all called to be followers of Jesus. But following Him looks different for each individual. Maybe you'll be a teacher, or a business person, an actor, a scientist, a pilot, a musician, a pastor, or a missionary. See, we are all called to share Jesus with the world around us. But what if Jesus was calling you to the other end of the world? What if everything in your world faded away? What if your name never became famous? And what if you never even received a paycheck? What if it cost you everything? For some people, these questions have not only been asked them, but they have been answered with an uncommon sense of boldness. Did you know that 40% of the world's population has no access to the gospel? Now let that sink in for a moment. 4 out of 10 people don't even have a way to hear about the life-changing message of Jesus. A vast number of these people live in Arab nations. More than 1.7 billion Muslims live in our world today, with almost no Christian influence around them. So, how can we change this? How can we as Americans, with a church on nearly every street corner, make a difference in the places where churches don't even exist? In order for some parts of the world to hear the gospel, it takes men and women who are willing to risk it all, even their own lives, so others might be saved. Speed the Light is a Christian organization that is providing equipment, media, and vehicles for missionaries to go into these places and more. Will you partner with Speed the Light? Will you make the choice to live dead? In other words, will you choose to die to something, to give it up, so that money can go towards someone hearing the life-changing message of Jesus for the first time? Because some people are willing to risk it all for the whole world to hear.
Are you not scared of being arrested?
Yeah, but I don't let fear dictate the call of God that's on my life.
I love that last line. Yeah, I'm afraid, but I don't let fear dictate the call of God on my life. Oh, yeah. That gets me excited. That's something that I can say, you know what, Satan? You can just take it and shove it, right? That's the sort of life that we need to be living. And so we're going to be talking about what that means to live dead tonight. And so we've done this series, and we started it back in September. It's now November. Who's ready for Thanksgiving? Yeah? Woohoo! Yeah, Thanksgiving turkey, right? But man, back in September, we started this whole dialogue on the new normal, saying, God, if God has created us for a reason, He set eternity in our hearts, that means that there's a different way to live, and that there's a standard of living, that God's normal is so different than the world's normal.
And we've dialogued so much about the theory behind it and what we've thought about and how do we actually change that. And so a couple of weeks ago, we started saying, all right, what are the action steps now? And we branched off, and these action steps, what I like to call the series is kind of less of me. You know, more of you, God, and less of me. And that's kind of what we've been talking about is this whole idea that, God, we need less of us and more of you in our life. And we had that sticky note campaign. If you guys are still doing the sticky note campaign, that's awesome. If you if you're like, what is he talking about, and you want to pick up some sticky notes, feel free. They're at the Welcome Center. Just pick up a little pack or whatnot. What that is we challenged each other and said, what is one way tomorrow that we can reflect the character of Christ? What's one way tomorrow? Because this life isn't about living it the best that we can. This life isn't about giving, you know, it's the best that I got. You know, I did the best with what I got. I didn't get much, God. My family stinks. I'm not very smart in the brains, right? I'm not very talented in the sports arena, but I did the best that I could. And it's not about that, though. God's saying, no, I don't want you to just do the best with what you got. I want you to live as if I was living through you. To live as if, what would God do if he was in our math class? What would God do if he was in your family? How would God respond to your parents? How would God respond in your history class? How would God study for that science test? Because all of a sudden that ups the ante a little bit, right? It's like, oh man. It's not just, well, I did the best that I could. You know, my best just isn't good enough. But no, it's, God, how would you, if you had what I have, how would you live this life? And so we said with that sticky note campaign is every night just write down just a little phrase. Hey, you know, I'm going to try to study harder, or I'm going to stay more focused, or I'm going to help my teacher out tomorrow. And just stick it somewhere, dashboard, locker, book, wherever. But someplace that you can remember to do it tomorrow. I told you guys, mine was, you know, I wanted to buy a meal for someone. And I don't know why I thought that, but it was not the next day, but the day after, and I was in line, and we're in Dairy Queen, and there, all of a sudden I remembered, oh, I told Lauren, oh, snap, I wrote down I want to buy a meal for somebody, and remember behind me, anyone remember what kind of car it was behind me? It was a minivan. But thank goodness it wasn't a minivan full of, like, soccer kids that were, like, on their way and ravenous or something. So, but all of a sudden, it's sometimes difficult, though, when we challenge ourselves, it's sometimes difficult to actually live that out. Say, God, I want to reflect the character of you. I want to show your love in an action tomorrow. And so what could that be? And so we did that in that sticky note campaign, and then we talked about speed the light. We talked about speed the light with this whole idea that every week, we can impact other people on a global level, right? It's not just, hey, you know, I'm going to love on my next door neighbor, or I'm going to love on my teammates, or you know, share God's love. But you can share God's love in a global way through Speed the Light. And so we challenged you guys to, hey, write down from now until May, how much can you say, God, I am going to declare, I don't know how this money is going to get here. I don't have a job, but God, I know that you have created me to make an impact. And so you guys have said that you're basically, it's going to be about $1,000 from now until the end of May, which puts us on track for about $2,500 for the year of 2015. So that's an awesome challenge. I encourage you, man, every week to say, God, I want to give everything for you. I'm not saying you got to give everything out of your piggy bank. But I'm saying give of yourself. Say, God, I want you to have complete control of my life. And so we talked about how Speed the Light's not just about money, but it's about discipleship. It's about this yearning for more. It's about this understanding that we no longer want to accept. Remember this from way back when? We no longer want to accept the world's norms because we're expecting God to do something in our life. If we're accepting what everyone else calls normal, hey, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal that you do this. It's not, you know, it's just a movie. It's just music. It's just a little bit of kissing. It's just whatever. It's just a party. You don't have to drink. If we're accepting that as a normal, all of a sudden, we can't expect God to show up and show off in our lives because we're accepting the old normal. When we start accepting God's normal, then all of a sudden stuff changes. I'm not saying you gotta go around and start judging people. You're a horrible person, right? But I'm saying you got to start living your life as a light. You got to start living your life and understanding that, man, God, you have created me. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because it's not about just checking off the list of habits. Habit one, habit two, habit three. It's about going after God, hungering and thirsting after righteousness with everything that you have. Because God doesn't want to be just a part of your life. He wants it all. He wants all of your life, and to make an impact on this planet, to live a life you won't regret, to actually feel like this life was really something that you're meant to be in. You got to go all in. You have to go all in. You can't just give a little bit. You can't just go for some of it. You got to go all in. Matthew 16, verse 24. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. See, sometimes we act like following God is like getting into a swimming pool in May. Like, anyone do that? Like, it's just now warm enough, and you're like, you do the little foot thing. Anyone ever do the foot thing, like, at the swimming pool? You're like, yeah, it's so cold. And then, like, your brother comes, and it's like, oh! Like, oh, it's so cold! Right? So there's an element of some of us just say, I just want to do a little bit of God's will. Well, okay, whew, that's a little bit too much, all right? But God said, no, no, no. If you're going to really live for me, you got to turn from your selfish ways, and you got to go all in. You got to go all in. You got to cannonball into that thing called God's will for your life, right? And God's will for your life. So many seniors and young adults always ask me, man, I'm just trying to figure out God's will for my life. I don't know why all of a sudden they sound like they're like smoking the doobie. Just God's will for my life, man. It's just trying to figure it out, right? They're from the 70s. I don't know. But so many people ask, I don't know what God's will for my life is. And here's the thing. God's will for your life is to love him completely. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. There's a fly. I swatted a fly. Oh, no, isn't there a rhyme about that? Anyways, so love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And that's what God's will is for your life, to live life to the fullest. How you do that is different for everyone, right? Career and calling are different. You can retire from a career. You don't retire from your calling to love God with everything. And so here's the thing. Why do we stick our toe in that pool? Why do we do that? Right? Why do we do that? Because we want to know if it's too cold, right? Because when we get in the pool, we want to feel what? Anyone? Warm. You want to feel comfortable, right? You don't want to be in there being like, this is great, right? I took Obadiah to the pool a couple times this summer, and it's like, okay, that was great. Let's go back home, buddy. It's like, oh my gosh, right? We want to feel comfortable. We want to feel comfortable getting into the pool, and often that's what we do with God's will. God, I'm willing to step out a little bit, but man, I just don't feel comfortable yet talking to that person about God. I just don't feel comfortable yet, you know, bringing it up with my teammates. I just don't feel comfortable yet talking to my siblings or my mom or my dad, and, you know, I just don't feel comfortable yet doing that. I'm going to get there, but I'm just going to stick the toe in and get a little bit closer. But the thing is, God didn't call us just to be comfortable. And we talked about this last week in middle school, and this was awesome. It kind of spurred on this conversation in my head of God didn't call us to be comfortable. We need to be courageous. Courageous should always be greater than comfortable. We need to have courage. You can write that down and you see that in your notes of, man, courage is always greater than comfort. This is what I loved about that video up there, and this is what sparked this. And you can thank Asia's stepdad for doing this. He built this in a day, literally like within a couple hours yesterday/today. This is a coffin. Normally people go like this in it, right? But this is what's crazy, and you saw what was happening in that video. She was throwing a bunch of luggage and bags into it. Back in the day, I'm talking hundreds of years ago, missionaries, when they went out of Europe and they went to Indonesia, when they went to the Philippines, when they went to Thailand, India, and all those different places, they would take a giant boat, typically, and they would sail around. And what happens is they would take, and they would literally, what that person did up there, they would make a coffin. They would make a coffin, and they would put all of their belongings in it, and then they would sail away. And they made that coffin because they knew that they would never return home. They were going all in for God, to the point where they said, you know what, I'm going to go out and spread God's gospel, and I know it's going to cost me everything. That when I wave goodbye to my family, and my friends, and my home, and everything I hold dear, I won't see them again. And I'm going all in. And that was crazy commitment. That took an amazing amount of courage. Because let me tell you something, that is not comfortable. That is not a comfortable life of saying, well, you know. And I had a phone conversation with this girl this week, actually, and it broke me. Because she's in college, and this was a girl from a youth group back in Kansas, and she was talking to me, and she goes, Donnie, I just don't know what to do next. And she's been in this relationship with this guy for over a year, and now it's getting serious, and it's looking like marriage, and all this stuff. And she goes, Donnie, I just don't know what to do because he doesn't believe the same things that I do. And she grew up, you know, she is the worship leader for my youth group there and all this stuff. And she went through camps and all this stuff. And so she was passionate about God at one point in her life. And this guy wasn't. And she's like, I just don't know what to do. And this is just so hard. And I just don't know. And I told her, I was like, well, listen, I tell this to anyone, by the way. If you are dating someone or thinking about dating someone, there's always two questions that I ask people when they start dating. One is your relationship honoring God? In the sense that if people look at your relationship and how you act with them, whether it's like, oh, I love you so much, or whether it's like, you're so stupid. No, you're stupid, right? And you're just like bickering the whole time. Is your relationship drawing them closer to God? Is your relationship a reflection of who God is and his love for us? If it's not, then that's an issue. Two, are you and the other person drawing closer to God, both individually and together? Are you guys drawing closer to God individually and together? And if that's not happening, then there's an issue. Maybe this relationship isn't the best for you. Maybe this relationship isn't what God's called you to be, because sometimes, and that's hard to say no to, right? I can understand, I can imagine that would be a difficult situation. And so that's where this girl was, and one of her other friends called me, and she's like, Donnie, I don't know what to tell her. She's just like crying and all this stuff, and she keeps telling me how stupid she is, and she's like, oh man, all I wanted her to be is happy. I just wanted her to be happy, Donnie. I just, my heart sunk. I was just like, I could care less if she's happy. And you're like, that's not nice. But what I'm concerned about is she holy? I could care less if she's happy, but I'm more concerned about God. Is she holy? Is there, and I'm not saying you can't be happy and holy at the same time, but often our priorities happen. What we do is, why do we marry somebody? Because he makes me happy. Because she just makes me so happy. Why do you take the job? Because, man, I'm just so happy in it. Man, I'm loving my job. But all of a sudden, when the happiness ends, then all of a sudden you think that, oh, you're not supposed to be with them, or you're not supposed to be in this job, or yada, yada, yada. And so it's not so much about what makes you happy, but is this really making you holy? And when we defined holy as being that new normal, about being set apart, about living this life that's different, living a life that's hungry and thirsting after God with everything. It's not just, you know, well, I just want to be happy, right? So what's your priority? Is it to be happy or to be holy? I'm not saying happiness is a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, what's the most important thing to you? And that's one of the blanks, to be happy or to be holy. What I loved is those missionaries, they didn't care about being happy. They didn't care about being comfortable. They said, you know what? I'm going all in. And I love that line that they, like, live dead. And we're going to get to that verse. But talking about this, that's why I spray painted. Some of you guys can't see it, and that's okay. But we're going to talk about this idea that, God, you have called us to live dead to sins, but alive in you. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Living a life that's no longer about us, but it's about others. It's about sharing God's love. It's about allowing God to fill us up, and out of the overflow of our heart, we speak life and fullness of joy to others. Now, those missionaries, man, they went, that was a crazy trip, and they would go over there and they would die serving and witnessing and speeding God's gospel to the world, and that was incredible. We have an opportunity coming up this summer to do a short-term missions. And don't worry, we're not going to be packing in coffins. We will be traveling there and back. We will be coming home. But what I want to talk about is this idea that short-term missions, a lot of people think, why not do it here? You know, why don't we do like a missions field here? Or why don't we do something like this? But this is what's cool about short-term missions is you get uncomfortable. Yes, do we need to do missions here? Yes, and we're going to get to that. We're going to get to doing outreach in this community, doing stuff in our backyard, reaching our neighbors and reaching our family and reaching our friends. And that is crucial and vital, and I don't overlook that at all. But there's an element of getting completely out of your zone, completely out of everything that you know. I'm talking, you don't know the streets, you don't know the language. God, I don't know, you know, how I'm going to even communicate your love to these people. Getting so uncomfortable that, guess what? All you can do is rely on God. Getting so uncomfortable to where you're like, oh, God, what is happening? And so this is, we're going to take a trip. It's going to be the first week in June. June 1st to the 9th / 10th. June 1st to the 10th, actually. And what the cost is going to be about $115 to $117. No, not $100. $1,700. Why can't I get that right? $1,700. $1,500 to $1,017. Wow, I can't even talk right now. So, $1,700. $1,500 or $1,700. It's going to be in that price range, depending on airfare. That's why I say that price range. But what we're going to do is we're going to go down to El Salvador. And we're going to be helping out with the triplets down there who set up this orphanage and this amazing organization called King's Castle. You can look it up online if you'd like to. But what they do is they do a lot of children's ministry, but you'll do not only children's ministry, but street evangelism and a lot of amazing, incredible things that you're like, well, that, you know, I guess that sounds cool. That sounds like a lot of work. But what's going to be awesome about is this is a start of a movement in our hearts. That when we go on a short-term missions trip, it's not about necessarily, oh, let's see how many people we can win. Yes, that's important, and yes, it's crucial that we do that, and yes, it changes lives when we go. But guess what? It does something within us. It takes us out of our element, takes us out of our comfortable zone, it takes us out of there to where we can fully rely on God, and that might be the first time that we've ever been in a place so uncomfortable that we have to rely fully on God for everything. God, I don't even know how I'm going to sleep tonight because this is just so uncomfortable. But God, I want to be courageous. And it takes courage. It takes courage to go on mission trips because when you go, you're the one that's impacted the most. And that's my prayer for every one of us is that when we go on a mission trip, that we would come back on fire, realizing that we've caught the heart of God for people. Right? And so that's why we're going to go. And it's an awesome opportunity. We're going to go not just as our church, but with several churches in Ohio. It's going to be what they call the AIM trip for the District of Ohio with the Assemblies of God. And so we'll put together a team as well as other teams. We'll come together and we'll fly out and down there for a week and a half. And we'll come back. And it's going to be an incredible experience. And it's going to be an opportunity for you to catch the vision and heart of God for your life. And I tell you what, I've heard so many stories of people coming back from mission trip and saying, man, my life is forever changed. Forever changed. And so I encourage you, over the next couple weeks, we'll keep giving you more details. And there's going to be a parent meeting on the 23rd. Not just a parent meeting, but for anyone who's interested. And we'll talk about how do we fundraise? You know, what... you know, I can't afford that. I can't pay that out of pocket. This is the big thing for me. If you feel like God's called you to be a part of this mission trip, he will pay the way somehow. He doesn't call you to do something and not foot the bill himself, right? He's a gentleman. By the way, ladies, if you go out on a date and the guy asks you out on a date, he better put up the bill or he's not worth your time. And now I'm saying, well, some of you guys say, I want to go, but in the end, not be able to because of finances, that could possibly happen. And so I'm not negating that. I'm not saying, hey, I'm going to pay your way if you decide to go. I'm saying it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of getting out of your comfort zone. It takes a lot of effort and energy to say, you know what, God, I want to sacrifice so that you can get glorified. I want to sacrifice because I believe that you have a call on my life, and I believe that this is a part of it, that I want to go and to catch your vision for my life. I want to go and impact people. I want to learn what it means in a very real way to live dead. Get out of my comfort zone, God, and may you get all the glory. So, a lot of people always ask, hey, what'd you do this summer? You know, what are you going to do? But I don't want to ask that. Hey, are you going to go on this missions trip? Because it's not about whether you go or you don't go. It's about, and I want to ask this question, who are you going to be? Who are you going to be? Are you going to be someone that God says, man, I can use them because they're willing to get out of their comfort zone. They're willing to stretch themselves. Who are you going to be? Because God's raising up a generation to be game changers in other people's lives, to be world changers in a very real sense, to impact people around them. We've said this so many times before. We impact at least 10,000 people in our life. So it's not whether or not you will, but how are you going to impact them? Are you going to be that ambassador for Christ? Are you going to be the one that instead of looking at what you can get, you're going to say, God, I'm going to give it all. I'm going to go all in. Who are you going to be? And it's not just about missions. It's not just about being a missionary, overseas, but it's about being a missionary in your own world, in your own sphere of influence, in your backyard, in your community, with your friends, with your school. And that's kind of the next challenge and thought I want to have for you guys is realizing that God has placed us here in the families, in the schools, and the systems that we're in for a reason. And so there are numerous opportunities for you to get involved, but I like to think of this, and we'll watch a video here in a second that talks about the fact that almost everyone in America goes to middle and high school. Almost everyone. Now, not everyone graduates, but almost everyone in America goes through a middle or high school program of some sort. And so the thing is, That is an amazing, amazing field that we could go in and say, God, we want to make you known. But so often, we kind of just put our heads down. So often, we'll kind of just tip our toe into, okay, well, I smiled at them today, God. One step closer. Tomorrow, I might say hello. Right? And then the next day, you're going to hell. Come to Jesus. Right? So I'm just saying, some of us are like, I just don't know how to share God's love. I don't know, understand that. And some of you don't do that because you haven't really experienced God's love. You don't really know what it's like to actually go all after God and say, you know what, God, I don't know what this is going to look like, but I want to love you with everything. I want to get out of my comfort zone. And so there's going to be an opportunity of what can we do? How do we impact the schools? How do we impact our sphere? And why don't we go ahead and watch this video?
The odds of sharing the gospel with every student at every school are staggering. And yet, students keep asking for the truth. So how do we reach every student? It's simple. Call up the leaders that will reach everyone else. Who are these leaders? They're you, me, our friends, and our peers, together at schools all across the nation. 25 million students gathered on 67,000 campuses. Our entire generation in one location, in every community at one time. And teens are the most likely people on the planet to receive and engage with the gospel message. The problem is that we are disappearing. In a few years, our friends at school will vanish into the world and scatter in 1,000 directions. Not only are they an important audience, but they are an urgent audience. But if we reach our peers today, together, we will go with the gospel and multiply the power of a single message around the world in ways we cannot fathom. If we fail to reach them, they will fall further from the truth. So how can 25 million students be reached year after year? We can't do it alone. It requires the entire body of Christ. Students, youth leaders, and parents, creating something together. Praying, building relationships, developing leaders, and reaching the campus so that every school is served and every student has the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, it starts with us. Join the movement and adopt your school. Every student, every school. This isn't a vision. This is reality. The world is waiting. We are listening. It's time.
So in thinking about this, and thinking about what can we do? Man, how do I impact my school? It's more than just saying, all right, well, I'm just going to go in there and start just preaching. I'm just going to see what happens. Let me tell you something. There are schools in this area, there's about 5 of them that I know of, that have successfully started amazing campaigns and what their after-school programs where they're thriving. We started one in Heritage this year. We went from 0 student buy-in, like no one was like, what is this? To we just went in for one lunch and said, hey, we're going to hang out, play some games, listen to music, eat, and we're gonna have kind of a talk and discuss. And all of a sudden, we're now running about 25 students after school on a Monday afternoon. Same thing happens in Minner High School. Same thing happens in Harvey High School. Same thing happens in a Minner Middle School. Same thing happens in a Kirtland Middle School and a Kirtland High School. That's more than 5. Things are happening. And so sometimes we feel like we're the only ones. Man, no one, you know, I'm the only one at my school. But man, you're not. That's Satan's biggest lie, is to believe that you're the only one. Or if you are, if there are more, you're all kind of like undercover agents. Because we all know that guy that's like loud, that like, I don't want to be like him because he's like, hey, Jesus, you shouldn't do that. You're a horrible person. It's like, man, he turned so many people away from Jesus. I'm just gonna be like incognito and like love them and then have them ask me the questions and then hopefully we'll have a dialogue and maybe we'll talk about Jesus. But God's calling us to be courageous, not comfortable, to be bold. And I'm not saying you need to stand up and do what the other guy was doing, but I'm saying, man, maybe God's calling you to make a movement happen in LaMuth at Perry. You know, maybe God's calling you to do something at Auburn, at Lakeland. Why does it have to be just a high school, right? Maybe God's calling us to do something different. To raise up a generation and say, you know what, we're not just going to sit still. We're not going to just be this little thing that, hey, you know, I'm going to go to church, you know, maybe you can come with me sometime. But we're going to be a generation that says, hey, let's live life on purpose, right? And so if you want to be involved in something like that, if you're saying, man, I'd love to see something like that at my school, there's nothing like that at my school, I actually literally have, it's a package that started this whole thing. It's called You Are Impact. It's called Impact Club. That's what we do at Heritage. And this supplies you with everything reasonably in terms of supplies that you need. It just takes the courage to actually use it. It takes the courage to step out. Because the first step is to, one, talk to your parents and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this maybe after school or before school. Kirtland's, a couple of the other schools do it before school. And they don't do this programming or anything like that. They kind of just do something else. But maybe talk to your parents. And then find a teacher that will be willing to let you use their classroom. And then not only find that teacher that will say, yeah, you can come in early, or yeah, you can come, you can stay afterwards, that's fine. But then find or go talk to the principal and say, hey, I'm thinking about kind of doing this after school or before school thing. I already got teacher, you know, sponsor, and so I just wanted to let you in on it and let you know, is that okay? And then all of a sudden, you can start inviting some people. Hey, we're just going to meet, maybe eat some hot dogs or something like that. And then you can start talking to them about, hey, what does it mean to live a life of impact? What does it mean to go out? And then you can start to realize that, start to get Christians involved and say, hey, guys, how can we really reach our schools? Over the past 3 months, the one at Heritage, we brought in this huge thing of coffee and donuts for the teachers, just to say, hey, we love you and support you. We brought in over 160 granola bars just to say, hey, man, we love you and support you. Thank you so much for all you do. We've given them Halloween candy this last week, their favorite candy bar or whatever, just to say, hey, we love you and support you. Man, thank you so much for everything that you do. Because we know the value of not just being inward focused, hey, how can I get better, but being outward and reaching out and saying, how can I come alongside my teacher? The best part was oversee you at the pole. We had a couple, about seven students gathered around the flagpole, and as the teachers walked in to go to school, one of them was like, hey, Mrs., hey, Mr., hey, Mrs. It was like, hey, we're praying for you today. Is there anything we can pray with you about? How awesome is that? All of a sudden, these teachers that were like, what is this? Are saying, yeah, you can pray for me. Or, oh, they're praying? Okay. And all of a sudden, we're making a difference. We're making an impact. And so if that's something that you want to be a part of, if you're saying, man, if I don't know how, I don't know the next step, but man, I feel like God's calling me to do something at my school, talk to me, man, and let's see where this can go. Because here's the thing. Often we allow our fear of failure or our priorities of on the time constraint, so I just don't have time, or man, what if this just totally botches? What if we only get like two people? Or the fear of poor resources, of, you know, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say, I don't really have the money for this, I don't really know. But we allow all those things to kind of hinder God's movement through us. And I want you to realize this, if nothing else, you are chosen by God to impact your school in your world. You are chosen by God to impact your school and your world. So the big question is, what are you going to do with the opportunities that God has given you? How would God act if he had opportunities like you had? How would God live your life if he had your kind of opportunities, your kind of resources? What would God be doing? Are you going to look at the impossibilities and the walls that are stopping you from doing it? Or are you going to start seeing the world through God's eyes and believing for a move of God to happen? Not just in your world, but through you to reach others. And so I want you, as we're going to close tonight, there's at the bottom of your page, note sheet and stuff, there's that declaration of what that girl said is, you know, are you afraid? Are you afraid of failure? Are you afraid of just, man, I just don't know if I can do it. Man, I just don't want to do it. You know, all those come out of a fear of a different identity and say, yeah, maybe that is a fear of mine. But I'm not going to allow fear to dictate the call of God on my life. And what that means to dictate is to say, tell me what God's call is on my life, to tell me who I'm going to be. I'm not going to allow fear to tell me who I'm going to be. I'm going to say, God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. God has put me here in my family, in my school, in this world for a reason, for right now, right here. I want to be used by God. I want to live dead. I want to go all in and say, God, nothing else matters. God, nothing else matters. I don't want to be comfortable anymore. I don't want to just hold on and tip my toe into the pool of your will and, oh, maybe a little bit. I want to go all in for you, God, whatever that looks like. And so tonight we're going to put on some music, and I want you to spend some time, I want you to spend some time praying, but I want everyone to grab a card up here in just a second. And on this card, it merely has, hey, I don't want fear to dictate the call of God on my life. And then I want you to write your name. And then there's three different blanks. One is, hey, I want to be a campus missionary on my school. I want to get involved in this, Donnie. I don't know how to, but I want to. Man, I feel like God's calling me to start something, to leave a lasting legacy at my school. I don't know how to, but I want to. And so maybe that's you. Maybe you're saying, man, I really want to go after God. And that El Salvador missions trip this summer sounds incredible. Because the time to sign up is now. And it's going to be up until the beginning of December, basically. And so you're saying, man, I don't know how financially. I don't know how because I don't like flying or I don't like going to different places. I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. And that's really a big fear of mine. But you're saying, I don't know what's going to happen. But Donnie, I want to say I want to be all in. I want to catch the heartbeat of God for my life. And maybe you're saying, well, I'm homeschooled or I don't feel like I'm supposed to do that in my school. The missions thing, I just don't know if I'm there yet, Donnie. And so at the last part, it says, I feel like God is calling me to step out in this area of my life. And that's merely saying, in your own words, what do you think God is calling you to go all in with? Whether that's talking to your parents, whether that's talking to your friends, whether that's starting up something completely different than what I talked about tonight. I'm not going to put God in a box. So maybe you're saying, man, I want to go all in this area of my life. I feel like God's calling me to step out in this area. And maybe that's where it is. And so if I could get a couple sponsors or support staff to hand these out. And if you need a pen, if one of you guys can go around and give out pens. But I want you to spend some time, thank you, spend some time in prayer. And when you're ready and you fill that out and when you're ready to say, you know what, I feel like this is what God's calling me to do, the next step of going all in, about dying to myself and coming alive in Christ, about living dead. I want you, and this is, for some of you guys, this is going to be weird, but I want you to bring that up here. You can just fold it up or whatever. I just want you to throw it in here. Just as a way of signifying, God, I want to go all in for you, and I want to literally live dead for you. I want to go all out. I want everything that you have for me. I don't want to settle for second best and second rate. I don't want my life to be mediocre. Man, I read this quote the other day that said, you know what? If you find yourself in boredom, you're finding yourself in sin. If you are bored, this is hard. Check this out. This guy said, if you are bored, then you are living in sin. Because living a life after God is not boring. If you are bored, then you're living in sin, because living a life for God is not boring. And you need to check yourself, because God has a call on your life for this very moment, this very day. And it should be exciting and invigorating. So man, what has God called you to do? What is he calling you to step out in? Let's just turn that music up a little bit and let's just spend some time in prayer saying, God, who is it that you have called me to be? And we'll just spend a couple moments, just a minute or two.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who he has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.